Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
And if it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
These on Saturday, and they're going to get up to the 60s for the Steelers and Bengals Sunday. So a great weekend of football weather at Acrisure for two big games. Paul Skeens is going to win his first Cy Young Award around 8 o'clock tonight, I think, is when the announcement gets made at the GM meetings that are going on right now out in Vegas. And that's cool. And I'm sure when that happens, you'll see on social media a bunch of his highlights again and people praising him. And Pirates will send out a tweet. And people will also in baseball send out like all his individual
historical
accomplishments
comps,
and all that
like
stuff,
where he slots in through 2 years. This is how great this guy actually is.
Yeah, and
that.
It's all bittersweet for us because he's
borrowed even, time.
Yes, but I was going to say, not only is it bittersweet because we know that reality, that he's not going to sign an extension and be here beyond his current deal, but it's also bittersweet because they haven't won anything. And he's exceeding expectations, which is hard to believe.
And they are actually not even close to winning anything. Yeah, they're objectively one of the worst teams in baseball.
So this article in the Newark Star-Ledger about Paul Skeens from today is wild. Title of the article, Skeens has a Yankees dream. Trust me, teammate says. And Pirates, quote, understand it. So the writer here, Randy Miller.
He's not like a random fake guy on Twitter. He's got an actual...
He goes to the GM meetings in Vegas to ask Ben Cherington about his scoop. This is not a former Pirates teammate. This is a current Pirates teammate who recently spoke with NJ Advanced Media, told the outlet that Skeens has, quote, no confidence the Pirates are ever going to win, and he's hoping for a trade well before he can become a free agent after the 2029 season. All right.
Trust me, he wants to play for the Yankees. I've heard him say it multiple times, was the quoted teammate.
Do you find any of that to be all that far-fetched?
No, I don't. I do not.
No confidence the Pirates are ever going to win. And his preference would be to get out of here before his 6 years are up with the team.
I do not find that hard to believe.
Everything he has said publicly is the opposite of that. He's expressed confidence in Ben Cherington building a team. He's expressed confidence in the teammates that he has here and their ability to get it done and play better. And, you know, even after Derek Shelton was fired, he made it seem like it was their faults for it. Like,
we got him fired.
Yeah.
We've got to play better. If we had played better, he'd still be here today. Yeah.
But I think most Pirates fans, if they put themselves in Paul Skeens' shoes, could imagine themselves or think about themselves saying something very similarly. What has this team shown to make me believe that I'm going to win here? get me as quickly as possible to a team that I can win with. The guy is obsessed with winning. He won a college baseball national championship. That was one of the reasons why he transferred. He wanted to obviously improve his stock for the draft, but he also wanted to be on a really good team. He's watched one offseason where the Pirates did next to nothing. The biggest move they made was the Spencer Horwich trade, which ended up working out because Luis Ortiz looks like he might be put in jail for the next
60 years.
But he knows the Yankees are going to spend and they're going to try to win.
That's what the Yankees do. That is in their DNA. I think it's very believable just because I think all the stuff he says where it's conciliatory or it's I have some confidence, you know, I hope when the time comes we make the moves we need to make. He's really well media trained. Like he's not careless enough or cavalier enough or whatever if he is feeling a certain kind of way to go out there and just blast the team publicly. This is the way that I always assumed if he was like hugely unhappy with the direction of the franchise and with ownership.
Yeah.
This is absolutely the way I imagine something like this would come out.
I'm trying to think now who currently on the Pirates.
Well, everyone speculated IKF, but because it's not a current teammate, he gets ruled out.
Yeah, it says according to a Pirates teammate. It's somebody on the team now. Who on the team?
Henry Davis.
Has either New York connections or you know, played for the Yankees.
Or would just randomly reach out and talk to
or is from, or maybe is from that area. You know, is like a New Jersey, New York guy. Well, you're right. Henry Davis is from like north of New York City, right?
Henry Davis grew up in Bedford, New York, Fox Lane High School. I believe that's north of the city.
He doesn't strike me as a guy knowing his very mercurial personality, though, that would go tell.
Mercurial. He's like he's the least mercurial person I've ever seen. He's just like blasé about everything.
He's kind of a hard ass.
But he's also Skeens' personal catcher.
But I can't.
And I feel like
he'd have a relationship with him, but would he go tell somebody? Like, would he make those kind of inflammatory comments about?
What if he
about,
feels like the Pirates have screwed him up?
Well, so that's a good point.
So he's like, I'm gonna light this wick. He's one name I would think about if it's somebody who would have any connection to that area. Yeah, Bedford's in Westchester.
Mike Burrows is from Connecticut.
Close enough, might as well.
He doesn't really strike me as someone that's got like an axe to grind with the Pirates.
You got to think of who has any kind of local ties to New York and who would be somebody on the team that presumably Paul would be talking to frequently away from baseball.
Or somebody who would have played there. Like Kat knows New York writers because they were in the Yankees or Mets clubhouse.
Rafael Flores.
Man, that would be, you want to talk about, you're with the Pirates for 5 minutes and you are able to learn that about Skeens? Come on, I don't think so. Dennis Santana?
Flores says
he played for the Mets.
Flores
and
says it. He'd love to play for the Yankees, and frankly, so would I. Please take me back there.
Santana played for both New York teams. We've seen him fly off the handle. He went into Detroit and slapped a fan in the face.
I'm working through the rest of the names here, Pony.
It's not a long list, man.
No.
Holderman played for the Mets, right?
Holderman.
He played for the Yankees.
Holderman played for the Mets.
I thought he played for the Yankees.
No.
No, he was in their minor league. Yeah, forget it.
It's a very short list of guys. Because, like, I'll just throw a name out there. Brian Reynolds wouldn't feel comfortable telling a reporter from New Jersey this, like, he wouldn't want to just bare his soul about Paul Skeens' frustration with the Pirates. The Davis thing is interesting. You're right. Like, if he thinks the Pirates have kind of screwed him over.
Could be Big Tim Mazza.
He knows Skeens, obviously, closely.
I think
Mazza's gone. He's a free agent, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's got to be current teammate. I'm not sitting here. We're playing detective. This should all be understood as this is us just playing the speculative game. I am not accusing it. But if you made me guess who's leaking this to a Newark Star Ledger or whatever it is, NJ.com reporter now. I would guess it's the guy that is essentially his personal catcher.
And is disgruntled, potentially.
Who's from that area and who might feel like, after being the first overall pick in a draft, that a franchise that does not exactly beat the rap for doing the right thing with first overall picks or draft picks in general might be a little bit, you know, harboring some animus towards those people.
Charrington dismissed Skeens' desire to play for the Yankees, but then he said, I understand
it. I do dismiss it, but I understand it, was the quote he got.
What we're going to focus on is just how do we win games with him in a Pirates uniform. Then he said, I have a ton of respect for the Yankees, but we'll just focus on what we need to do. More tea from this anonymous Pirate. Skeens grew up a big Angels fan. He's talked about going to the Arizona Fall League when he was 9 or 10 and getting Mike Trout's autograph there. I used to think Anaheim was where Skeens wanted to go.
But they're kind of a dumpster fire of a franchise in their own way.
Yeah, if he wanted to go back to Southern California and play for a winner, he'd pick the Dodgers or Padres. He wouldn't pick the Angels. The Angels have a longer playoff drought than the Pirates
do. I know a Dodgers fan who, whenever this person texts me, refers to him as future Dodgers ace Paul Skeens. Likes to do that just to be a jerk. I don't know.
Is he wrong?
No. I mean, Davis is my guess, Donnie. You got a better one? If this is all legit.
Whoa, time out, actually. Uh-oh. I think we got to start over here. I just read Randy Miller's biography.
Uh-oh.
Randy is a native of Gannett, Pennsylvania, a city 25 miles east of Pittsburgh, and has been writing about sports since age 15 when he was covering high schools and Pitt football for the Gannett News Dispatch.
Donnie, did you tell him this? Is this Westmoreland County stuff happening?
I actually
did you pose as a teammate?
I actually take it back. Maybe it's not just New York related guys if this dude is such a connection to the area.
Yeah, but he's based in New Jersey. Is he getting McCutcheon to go on the record and say that? He played for the Yankees.
You know, I feel like I'd have a good theory on this one, Parado. Who do you think is Randy Miller's mole?
You think if we like messaged Parado, he would at least give us his best guess?
He's been a big Pittsburgh Pirate, big Pittsburgh Penguins hockey fan since the early 1970s, man. He's going back to the beginning, embryonic years of the Penguins.
It was actually Eric Carlson, Penguins defenseman, posing as a baseball player who said,
have you ever heard of this guy, Donnie?
I've heard of Randy Miller.
He's out your way.
No.
Like, I'm
looking at his Twitter, though.
I've heard of him as like a guy whose name pops up when you see like a baseball story, you know, get tweeted out or retweeted. I've seen him on there. Greg Brown follows him. He definitely knows who he is.
Yeah. Well, Skeens is going to get the Cy Young, but this is obviously an interesting story here. I don't think it's going to affect the Pirates. They're not going to trade him now because he wants to go to the Yankees. But.
Isn't the quote from Charrington, I do dismiss it, but I understand it, kind of damning? Yeah, I understand why he'd want to play for a franchise that's way better than us. Yeah. I get it, man.
I'd like to go work for the Yankees, too, if I had the chance.
It'd be great.
See, if he was saying this, why wouldn't he just say the Dodgers from the get-go? Because they're the team that wins things. The Yankees, yeah, they're the
Livy
Yankees.
Livy Dunn has a place in New York City.
I mean, they don't have enough money to have a place in
L.A.
No,
I think she wants to be in New York City as far as, like, furthering whatever career she's got planned for herself. I've read articles about how, like, she's in some, like, Upper West, you know, some very rich part of Manhattan, the extra rich part.
Yeah, I mean,
and she's in, like,
a
co-op apartment building or something.
Either place is pretty advantageous to live.
I know, but she might specifically be like, hey, if we have to pick here, I would rather be in the East Coast.
I actually do have a take on this. I think it's possible because he grew up an Angels fan that he just doesn't like the Dodgers. Like, I think people...
Does he like living in California and possibly
the Dodgers can't win them all?
Like,
Didn't Tyler Glasnow say he hated the Dodgers and then after they won the World Series said, if you can't beat them, join them?
I don't know. I mean, this guy obviously is going to have his preference of... He could his pick of the litter of the high... of the. You know,
what if he gets traded to the Dodgers and then just says, I'm going to the Yankees after he pitches like a year or two for the Dodgers? You know? I don't know, man. It's just like the Charrington just saying, oh, yeah, I dismiss this, but I also get it.
I'll tell you what. Who's on after us tonight?
Well, it's Narduzzi and then Hillgrove. Or then Bechtold.
You know what Bechtold should do? He should try to run this guy down.
Yeah. Absolutely should try to get him. He's at the GM's meetings.
He should try to get this guy and say, hey, Jeanette Native, former Jayhawk, Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, butter him up with some Terrell Pryor and Jordan Hall talk.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's time for a Hawk Report with our 93.7 The Fan Steelers insider, Jeff Hathorn, brought to you by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. All right, Jeff, how concerned should Steelers fans be about Broderick Jones's new injury?
Yeah, it's early in the week. There didn't seem to be a lot of panic about it. He was out at practice. You know, groins can be tough to read because you can walk around but not be able to play. But after a day, I think there's still some optimism that he'd be able to get out on the field on Sunday.
And if not, Jeff, what's the recourse here? How do they shake things up that way?
Yeah, Calvin Anderson, I mean, he's the reason you signed that veteran, is for opportunities to, you know, you need a guy for a couple of games or for a game. You've got someone that's played in the league, someone who's started in the league. Calvin Anderson will be the guy that will be at left tackle.
How about left guard, Sayamalu, on the comeback trail?
Yeah, he is. He was limited today with that pec injury. They're very optimistic that he's going to be able to go. He was able to do a bunch of drills where he could really test it, and it seemed like he went through it all right. So we'll know a little bit more tomorrow, but it was a really good first day for him.
Jeff, what did you make of just Aaron Rodgers in general today? One day after Mike Tomlin said, I'm not going to just call it a one-off or basically one bad night, but I am confident in moving forward. Just, I want your overall thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers scrum today.
I mean, it was pretty normal, obviously not as jovial as some have been after wins. You know, he kind of brushed off the question about, you know, bouncing back as if, you know, like, hey, I've done this however many times in my career and I know the deal. I'm not freaking out about it. I think he even said something to that effect, that he hasn't lost any confidence in himself or the offense. Now, that being said, I thought his stuff in the scrum, you know, he said a few times that Jaylen Warren needs to get the ball. He's careful not to say, hey, I am saying anything negative about Gainwell, but he wants more Jaylen Warren. And, you know, other receivers have to get open, so DK isn't double-teamed every single play.
Jeff, I got the sense he wanted Freiermuth over Jonnu Smith, too, based on what he said today.
Well, especially in this matchup, because he's done so historically well against Cincinnati. I don't know if he feels that way, you know, period, for the rest of the year, but especially in this matchup. And you know what? Freiermuth found ways to get open. They've been able to get him a couple of passes in the last few games. I don't know what it's going to take for Jonnu, whether it's one big play, whether it's what it is, like they've been trying to find ways to get him, but he only was targeted two times. And man, for what he did last year, he is so way underperforming last season.
Jeff, how about Mike Tomlin, as any sane head coach would, when his team is about to get ready to face the Bengals, who have given up 86 points and over 1,000 yards in their last two games? Mike Tomlin naturally started with the defense and how impressive those rookie linebackers are at communicating with one another. Not playing football, maybe, but communicating. Am I wrong to find that just like awfully weird and very Tomlin-esque that when a team has one of the worst defenses a lot of people have ever seen, he still is opening up talking about them?
Yeah, Tomlin's trying to get away from talking about anything about his offense.
His boogeyman, Joe Flacco. I thought he just didn't want to say Flacco's name in fears that he might appear behind him at the podium or something.
You know, there was something that Brandon Echols said today that was interesting about, you know, how we got to respect him more, talking about Flacco. And I'm thinking, like, how do you not, at least from other guys in the room or for these guys coaching against him, how, you know, for tens of times, like, how did that happen against Cincinnati? I guess we'll find out how they approach this one with James Pierre likely at starting a corner.
Jeff, I was just going to ask you that. So you think Pierre steps in for Slay? How long do you think it's going to take Asante Samuel Jr. to get in the lineup?
Today was that first day. I mean, he got some opportunities to get out there a little bit, but it's not as dire a situation as when Duggar came in, where they were down a couple of guys because of injuries. One was a late illness. You know, they needed to make that happen. They do really like, you heard it yesterday from Tom, and he really likes Pierre. He played decent in that game against the Chargers. So I don't think they feel right now that they have to rush him out there, that they have an opportunity to kind of work him in.
MVS, Aaron Rodgers said, I want to see him work with the first team. Do you think he's got a shot of being active on game day?
Maybe. You know, he also talked up Roman and Calvin. Obviously, Calvin had the big, you know, deflection off his hands for the pick. But, you know, and the name that everybody's going to scream about was brought up, too, is Scotty Miller's back at practice.
Oh,
and I,
huzzah!
Right? So, I mean, I don't know that it's a slam dunk for MVS. In a weird way, at least early in the week, I thought that he might get more of an opportunity last week than he might this.
Okay. All right, Jeff, your weekly prediction with us.
You're always first in line.
Steelers bounce back and beat the Bengals Sunday.
Steelers bounce back and beat the Bengals. In the Bengals defense, Chris, you mentioned the numbers. I mean, I'd say Steelers 34, Bengals 23.
Jeff, one quick addendum to that. I'm not being glib or being a jackass. I mean, maybe I am. What reason does any Steelers fan have to believe that the Steelers are going to hold them under like 30 points? I know you're predicting it, which is fine, and it might happen, and I've gotten burnt saying stuff like this before. The Bengals toyed with them, and it's not like Joe Flacco has been solved really by any of the subsequent teams that he's faced.
No, I guess maybe in blindness I'm going with the adjustments from the first game, and they've got more tape, and they know how to attack this, and they have had success in matchups.
That is true. Mike was asked how you prevent Jamar Chase from getting the ball so much, and he said, well, you just basically try to get them to not throw it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work the first time.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. And by the way, happy birthday, Amanda.
Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, nice.
We'll talk again next week. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
See you guys.
Judge Donnie is brought to you by LGKG. We aren't real attorneys, believe it or not, but Western PA Injury Super Lawyers Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG are, as a matter of fact. I just remembered we forgot to ask Mike Florio, a real lawyer, what he thought of the Antonio Brown legal situation, but I'm sure we can do that with him next week. Your Honor, what are we debating today?
All right, boys, I think we got a fun one pertaining to the game on Sunday. Who has the quarterback advantage? The Steelers with Aaron Rodgers or the Bengals with Cowboy Joe?
Ready, Mulsey? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Damn.
Your Honor, I'm going to say that the Cincinnati Bengals with Cowboy Joe Flacco, in fact, do have the quarterback advantage. in this game, despite Councilman Filippone's incredulous face that he just made to you. Ready?
Go ahead.
All right. I think it should be pretty self-evident that a team that's featuring a quarterback that since he's taken over has thrown 11 touchdowns and two interceptions, and a team that would in that time frame probably be 4-0 if they could play even a lick of defense as the quarterback advantage in this game. It is worth mentioning that three out of the four performances, yes, were at home, and that helps any offensive player. But it's hardly like Joe Flacco was a shrinking violet against the Packers in Green Bay. He took one half to warm up and then started absolutely carving up Green Bay's defense and nearly brought the Bengals all the way back in the second half of that game. He has not been solved. The Jets did not do a good job on him. They ran it and passed it on the Jets with equal aplomb. And then in the complete and total absence of a running game against the Chicago Bears, the Bengals ran for 46 yards in that game. He threw for 470. He did throw two picks, one of which was a tipped ball, as our friend Aditi Kinkabwala pointed it out. He is getting the ball to his best player, Ja'Marr Chase, with regularity. Nobody's figured out that combination yet. And when you do try to take it away from Chase or take him Chase away from Flacco, he just goes to T. Higgins. He has operated that offense at a tremendously high level, and he looks in his 40s like a guy who actually still has the edge and the itch to play and to compete and do everything else. I will remind you that he hasn't made any business decision looking throws for the Bengals either. He's also playing in a situation where he knows he probably has to put up 35 points or more to have a chance at winning because of how bad his defense is, and he's basically done that in the last three games. I don't care that the game is in Pittsburgh. I think Joe Flacco is playing like a borderline MVP right now, at least statistically. That's why it's an easy call that he's the quarterback I have more confidence and trust in for this game.
Andrew?
Well, I would say that Counselor Mueller is being a little bit disingenuous here when he's talking about the location or site of the game not mattering. As I'd like to point out to you, Your Honor, when we talked about a previous case, Steelers v. Colts, the Colts looked like their offense was unstoppable, but they had not played on the road yet. They had played games in L.A. and at basically a neutral site in a game at Tennessee where the fans didn't care against one of the worst teams in the NFL. They came here and suddenly they looked much worse, six turnovers. These three games with Joe Flacco where he set the world on fire have all been at home. They've all been in Cincinnati. He played one game at Green Bay. Counselor Mueller likes to bring up the fact that he threw two touchdowns. He threw for 219 yards and they scored 18 points at Lambeau. Okay, the Steelers defense, Packers defense, more analogous than, say, the Jets defense or the Bears defense, the two defenses that Joe Flacco lit up at home and not on the road. I'd also like to point out that one of the things that the Steelers have and Aaron Rodgers has in this matchup as a key advantage is the defense he's facing. Counselor Mueller said, I have more confidence in Joe Flacco against the Steelers defense. Are you sure about that? The Bengals are giving up 426 yards per game. That is more than 25 yards more than the next closest team, the Cowboys. They are giving up 33.3 points per game. That is 3 points more than any team in the NFL. When talking about who has the quarterback advantage, this isn't a quarterback skill competition like the one they used to do at the Pro Bowl. They're facing defenses. And Aaron Rodgers gets to face the Cincinnati Bengals defense. And if Counselor Mueller can bring up Aditi, I will as well. She said, I could tackle better than these guys, Your Honor.
Final argument, Chris, 1 minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will also say that if we're talking about the defense each person is facing, we might as well talk about the skill position group that each player is throwing to. Who would you rather have as your quarterback's targets? Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, or literally every eligible receiver that the Steelers could field? I would take just those two, and they'd probably do a better job. Yoshi Voss, Chase Brown, they're all better than just about everybody the Steelers have to offer. Oh, the Steelers have DK Metcalf. problem. They can't get him the ball because everybody just double teams him on every play. If you do that as the to the Bengals, they just find another guy. By the way, speaking of opposing defenses, Joe Flacco gets to go up against the one that he put 33 points on, and also the one that in their 3 out of 4 losses of their last 4 games, when they don't turn the other team over, guess how many points they've allowed per game? 31. Not exactly the steel curtain from the 70s or the 2000 Ravens. That's why Flacco has a massive advantage here.
Andrew.
Your Honor, if the Steelers defense can hold down Jonathan Taylor and Daniel Jones at home, I assure you they can do similar things to Joe Flacco even with these great receivers. Let's keep in mind, yes, they did score a lot of points against the Jets. He had 223 yards passing in that game. 223. You know what that stat line looks like to me? A Kenny Pickett game. So let's not make it sound, let's not misrepresent the facts here. It's not like Joe Flacco was throwing for 500 yards in every game. He played a good game against the Steelers. He played a very good game against the Bears. Aaron Rodgers threw for more touchdowns against the Bengals offense or Bengals defense in Cincinnati than Joe Flacco did against the Steelers defense in that game on a short week as well. We saw what happened to a great offense the last time they came here. It can and will happen again. Aaron Rodgers will have the better day at quarterback.
Boys, I find in the case of the quarterback having the advantage on Sunday, I find in favor of Cowboy Joe Flacco. Yeah.
The deal was sealed, Donnie, once I did this during Rock, Paper, Scissors.
I hate
snip,
you guys.
Snip, snip. And Counselor Filippone, despite his best efforts, and he is an honorable member of this court.
Why are you speaking of the Southern twang now?
It's kind of fun. Jurisprudence. Things of that nature. Crab Rangoon.
Do you guys really think that Joe Flacco is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers right now?
Yeah, because the
all things being equal.
The last image, hold on. The last,
I think he's playing some of the best football he's ever played.
The last image I have of Aaron Rodgers, Pony, sorry, have to do this. The last image I have is of him missing Metcalf, looking like 1,000-yard stare like he'd rather be in a darkness retreat, missing Smith, clipping his chin strap up, and then on the little Gainwell ball in the flat when they're in the low red zone, him throwing it, Donnie, and turning away from the direction of the throw so as not to get absolutely lit up. Everything Florio said about how he looked pissed in the games prior to that Chargers game and then looked resigned rings true to me. He does. Now, I know he's talked a good game. You got to put it behind you, et cetera, et cetera. He looks like a guy who aged overnight, like week to week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates. Presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sportsbooks, an injury ruins your whole football parlay. But not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.